Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. And our text this evening is found in verse 12. Matthew 14 and verse 12. And there we read, and his disciples, that is the disciples of John the Baptist, came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And that's our text this evening. They went and told Jesus. Now it took a great deal of courage to go to the palace of the house of Herod and to gather up the headless body of their beloved master. For if Herod had seen to it that John the Baptist was beheaded, then what would he not do to his followers? Nevertheless, the disciples of John the Baptist retrieved the mutilated body and went and gave it a decent burial. It is what they did after the burial that we want to focus our attention upon this evening. For we read, they took up the body, buried it, and went and told Jesus. Yes, they went and told Jesus. They went. But where did they come from? When they went to Jesus, where were they coming from? They came from the house of Herod. They came from the house of the palace of Herod, and in many ways, for those disciples, it was the house of mourning. Their leader had been taken from them. We have no doubt they felt his loss. They had fasted often while John was in prison, and no doubt prayed for him as the church had gathered together and prayed for the imprisoned Peter. They had free access, of course, to him in prison, which was a comfort to them, as I'm sure it was to John. But they wished to see him a free man. They had hoped that he would have been set at liberty. But then all of a sudden, their hopes are dashed as their master is murdered. What were they to do? Well, they went and told Jesus. Where have you come from tonight? To this house, to this meeting. What is the name of the house that you have left behind to come here this evening? Like the disciples, maybe a house of mourning. Perhaps not through the death of a loved one, but maybe the loss of a friend. The loss of a family member, the loss of fellowship with them. Are you here this evening pained by sorrow, suffering, or sickness? Come here this evening wondering what to do. There's a week before you. What are you going to do? How are you going to face your difficulties and your trials and those burdens that you have? Well, here is something you can do. You can go and tell Jesus. That's what John's disciples did. They went and told Jesus. Now I can see those disciples gaze upon the headless body of the Master. was they prepare him for burial. And I wondered as they looked upon their beloved leader. I wondered, did they stand there and wonder why this had been allowed to take place? After all, they had prayed for his release, prayed for his safety. But now the one they had prayed for had been murdered. Did they not wonder why? And as they stood in that house, for them it was not only a house of mourning, it was a house of mystery. Mystery was, why was John the Baptist allowed to die in such a barbaric manner? Why was it allowed to happen? He who did no miracle, but all things that he spake about Christ were true. He who was a faithful minister of the gospel, his voice had now been silenced. Never to speak again. Was all this not a mystery to them? Something that perhaps they could not understand. So what did they do? They went and told Jesus. Sometimes things happen to us that we cannot understand. Some things are allowed to happen, God's providence. And when we look at those things, we cannot explain them. And we have no answer for them. Try as we may, we cannot find an answer. What are we to do? Go and tell Jesus. Did not the church in Jerusalem wonder why such a bright and shining light like Stephen was suddenly, cruelly extinguished? Did not St. Peter's Church in Dundee, Scotland, not wonder why their beloved pastor was taken from them at such a young age? For Reverend Robert Murray McShane was but 29 when he passed into the presence of the Lord. And I'm sure there were those in that 1,200 of the congregation who wondered why. Why, Lord? Did our dear, beloved, holy pastor die at such a young age? These things are all unexplainable. As far as our puny minds are concerned. And when such things happen to us, what do we do? There's only one thing we can do, and that is go and tell Jesus. And that's what the disciples of John did. They went and told Jesus. And believer, when those things happen to us, let us follow them. Let us follow the example of John's disciples. And let us go and tell Jesus. So let us follow in their footsteps this evening, as it were, and see what happened as these disciples went and told Jesus. I want you to first of all to notice and consider with me the reason. Yes, they went and told Jesus, but why? Why did they not go and tell John? Why did they not go and tell Peter, James, or Andrew? No, we are told they went and told Jesus. Well, first of all, I believe it was because Jesus was their fellow. He was one of them, except for sin. They may not have been as fully acquainted with the Lord Jesus as John was, but nevertheless, they knew that he was one of them. They knew that he was God, but they also knew that he was man. Bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. He was one of them. And it's far easier to go and tell someone our troubles who we believe is one of us, who can identify with us. And they went to one whom they knew would understand. They went to one whom they knew would know how they felt. After all, he was one of them. He was human. Believer, when we go to the Lord Jesus, when we go and tell Jesus, we're going to one who is our fellow. One who is one of us. As Paul said, quoting Psalm 45 and verse 7, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, speaking of Christ, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so we are regarded as fellows with Christ, and if that's the case, then Christ is our fellow. The word fellow means partner. What a lovely word for Christ. He's our partner. He is our partner. That means he is our partner through all the circumstances of life. He is our divine partner, but he's also our human partner. Is that not what would encourage us to go and tell Jesus? Because he is our fellow. He is our partner. That when we approach him and we find him sin excluded, we find in him a being just like ourselves. His divine nature is clad with the human. His circumstances are human. His love is human. His sympathy is human. His compassion is human. His smile is human. His trials, his temptations, his tears, his sufferings, his sorrows, his disappointments, his discouragements, his desires, they're all human. And so when we have trials and we have shed tears and we have disappointments and we have discouragements, and we go and tell Jesus, praise God, we know that we're going to one who understands. Because he is our fellow. He became flesh. Knows all about the sufferings the flesh goes through. Go and tell Jesus. You can go and tell Jesus then with confidence, knowing that he understands. But I believe another reason why they went and told Jesus. Not only was he their fellow, he was also their friend. These disciples looked upon Christ as a friend. Because of John's friendship with the Lord Jesus. You turn please to John chapter 3. And there in John chapter 3 we read about the friendship that existed between John and the Lord Jesus. In John 3 and verse 28, John is speaking. Ye yourselves bear me witness, he's addressing his own disciples. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. There, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. And here John describes himself as the friend of the bridegroom. Here John describes himself as the friend of the Lord Jesus. Did that not put John's followers in the same relationship? For they knew that John was the forerunner of Christ, and John was the friend of Christ, and they were John's followers, his disciples. And that's why. That's why when their leader was murdered, that's why they went and told Jesus. Because he saw him as their friend. When it comes to telling someone about our troubles, who do we usually tell those troubles to? It's to a friend. To someone we regard as a friend. And dear Christian, tonight Jesus Christ is the best friend we have. We can, with the bride and song and the Song of Solomon, look upon the Lord, the one who was altogether lovely, and we can say this evening, this is my beloved and this is my friend. Isn't it great to be able to say that? Isn't it great to be able to look to the Lord Jesus and say to one and all, Do you see that man of Calvary? Do you see Jesus of Nazareth? He's my friend. That man is my friend. And because he's our friend, believer, we can go and tell Jesus. Knowing that in the Lord Jesus, we have one who is sympathetic. He's a sympathizing friend. We can tell our troubles to individuals. Maybe not get much sympathy. But when you tell it to Jesus, you'll always get sympathy there. Because the dearer, the nearer the friend, the more sympathy he'll be given. And there's no friend nearer to us than Jesus Christ. He's our best friend. When we go and speak to the Lord Jesus and go and tell Jesus, we go to one who is a loyal friend. Jesus Christ is no fair weather friend, but one who will be with us at all seasons. Proverbs 18, verse 24, there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. That's amazing. He sticketh closer, the word sticketh means to cleave. He cleaves to us. He holds on to us. He embraces us. He holds us in his arms. That's how close this friend is to us. So that when others leave us, when others turn their back upon us, when others go from us, Jesus will remain cleaving to us. He'll still be cleaving. And should the whole world forsake us, should the whole world leave us, there'll still be one holding on to us, standing by us. And that one is Jesus Christ, our loyal friend.
Paul was one who proved the friendship of Christ, the loyalty of Christ.
Proved the loyalty of his friend in time of danger. You recall when we studied some of the night scenes in Scripture, how Paul was arrested. And for his own safety was put away in a castle because his enemies wanted to lynch him. They wanted to lynch him. It is said that they wanted to pull him apart. They would have lynched Paul. And there was nobody else there in the castle beside him. Nobody else there. Except his most loyal friend. For Acts 23 verse 11 says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by me and said, be of good cheer, Paul. The Lord stood by me." And in our time of danger, we've often proven the loyalty of Christ. Because he's the one who has always stood by us. So we need have no hesitation in our present danger or future danger. Present trouble or future trouble. We need have no hesitation in going and telling Jesus. Because he's a loyal friend. The Lord Jesus proved to Paul that he was a loyal friend in time of darkness. That night, indeed many nights, days looked like nights, when he has been transported with other prisoners in the great ship Alexandria. And they ran into a storm. And we are told, and being exceeding tossed with a tempest, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And you've been in those situations, haven't you? You've faced trouble. And there doesn't seem to be any hope. Seem to be in a hopeless situation. And everything's dark. There doesn't even seem to be a glimmer of hope. So it was with Paul. But then he says in Acts 27 and verse 23, "There stood by me." There's it again. "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." And who did he serve? He served Christ. Christ, the angel of God. And in the midst of the storm, in the middle of the night, in that time of hopelessness, who was found standing by him? None other than his loyal friend, Jesus Christ. When we go through the storms of life, and fair weather friends leave us, believer, you can be sure of this. Jesus Christ, our loyal friend, will stand beside us. And standing somewhere in the shadows, we'll find Jesus. He's the one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows of the night, we'll find him. You can be sure of that. We'll find him. And we'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Always a loyal friend. So do not hesitate.
your time of trouble, disappointment, discouragement and despair, do not hesitate to go and tell Jesus. Paul proved the friendship of Christ in his time of death.
That last letter, or that last chapter in that second epistle to Timothy,
he said to Timothy at the first, "No man stood with me. No man stood with me. But all men forsook me." And then he says this, "Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Proving once again, even near as he faced the last enemy, proving again the loyalty of Christ. David proved the loyalty of Christ. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, walking beside me." Praise his name. But he's not only a loyal friend, he's a loving friend. So that's why the disciples of John went to him. They knew that he would be, and to them, a loving friend. All the more reason why we should go to him in our times of trouble, because he's a loving friend. He'll meet us with a loving heart. He'll speak to us with loving words. He'll embrace us with loving arms. He'll hold us with loving hands. He's our loving friend. A friend, Proverbs says, a friend loveth at all times. All times. Jesus Christ loves us at all times. Did not Mary and Martha prove the loving friendship of Christ? For when their brother Lazarus was sick, what did they do? Why, they went and told Jesus. What'd they say? "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Lazarus loved the Lord Jesus. But then in verse 5 of John 11, we read, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Not only did Lazarus love the Lord, praise his name, the Lord loved Lazarus. And we love the Lord tonight. But Jesus loves us. The Lord Jesus loves us. And if there was any doubt in the mind of Mary and Martha, any doubt about the Savior's love, they heard the words of the Jews when they saw Christ stand at the tomb of Lazarus weep. They said, "Behold how he loved him." The love of Christ was seen in those bitter tears that he shed. And they could see the love of Christ for his friend Lazarus. And dear child of God, we have such a loving friend. That's why we said he is our fellow. He knows what it is to weep. Knows what it is to shed bitter, silent tears. That's why we can go and tell Jesus. We sang tonight, "Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down with care?
Come to the cross, his burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot share, never
a friend like Jesus. Never a friend like Jesus. But I believe there was another reason why they went and told Jesus. Not only because he was their fellow and because he was their friend, but because of their own frailty. You see, they had been burdened. They had a literal physical burden when they carried the body of their beloved leader to the grave. They carried that burden. They carried that body to his place of burial. Then they placed that body in the tomb. They were relieved of that actual physical burden. But they had another burden that they couldn't carry. For the disciples of John, they had an emotional burden. They had a mental burden. They had a spiritual burden. How to cope with the loss of their leader, John the Baptist. There was a burden that they couldn't relieve themselves of. There was a burden that they couldn't lay down. So what did they do? They went and told Jesus. They brought their burden to the Lord. And you know, believer, we all have our troubles and our trials in life. Situations arise that trouble us. And we do our best to resolve them, and we go as far as we can to resolve them. Maybe we put everything back into place, as it were. We've done everything humanly possible to resolve the situation. But then we maybe go to bed at night and we think about what happened and how it has grieved us and how it has troubled us. And there's the burden that we cannot relieve ourselves of. There is the burden that we do not have an answer to. And we have a burden that sometimes is almost ready to crush us. And what do we do? Why? We simply go and tell Jesus. When we have problems we cannot solve, we go and tell Jesus. And when we have difficulties we cannot get over, we go and tell Jesus. And when we have burdens that we cannot carry, we go and tell Jesus. That's what the disciples of John the Baptist did. And when there are days, and when there are nights that we just feel we cannot get through, we'll never get through them, we feel, what do? We go and tell Jesus. Because he knoweth our frame. And he remembereth that we are dust. We're frail. And there are burdens we just cannot carry. And we want to leave them down. We want to shed those burdens. We want to be relieved of those burdens. And how do we do that? We go and tell Jesus. For we are weak, but he is strong. We would say, Lord, hold me. with thy powerful hand.
Believer, those burdens you cannot carry,
go and tell Jesus all about them.
We're not going to a weak Christ. We're not going to a feeble Christ. We're not going to a frail Christ. We're going to one who has carried the burden of sin for all of his people. And that's a heavy burden. And if Christ is able to carry such a heavy burden, he can carry the burden that we bring to him. Oh, go and tell Jesus. Go and tell Jesus. So we've had the reason, or a number of the reasons. Then we have the report. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. After they had taken care of the body of John, his disciples then brought their report to the Savior. Notice their priority. They took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. They made that their priority. They did not go to anyone else but Jesus Christ. And how often when things go against us, things aren't working out too well for us, we'll go to others and tell them. But the disciples of John didn't go to anybody else. They went and told Jesus first. We may tell others, but they cannot lift their burden. In fact, maybe they even make it worse. But we cannot fail if we go and tell Jesus. And go to him first. Then we ask ourselves, what did they tell him? What was the report they gave? We're not given any details. There's no record at all in any of the Gospels of what these disciples told the Lord. We're just informed that they went and told Jesus. How they felt is not even revealed to us. What they said has not been revealed to us. Just told they went and told Jesus. But you know there's a lesson there. All that was upon the heart of these disciples, only they knew. And Jesus knew. Nobody else. None of the other disciples. James, Peter, Andrew, John, Thomas. None of them were informed. And so what do we have here? We have these disciples of John the Baptist. And they alone know how they feel. They and Jesus Christ. And are there not things, dear child of God, are there not burdens that we dare not share with anyone else? Are there not feelings we have betimes that we cannot tell anyone else about? Do we not have problems at times that we cannot share with anyone? Nobody knows anything about. Well, we can go and tell Jesus. And what we have upon our hearts, we can share with him just between Jesus and us. We come into meetings like this, and we can so often come in and have a burden that the person beside us knows nothing about.
We have a pain in the heart no one knows anything about. We have a problem that we've left at home. We know we have to go back home and face it again, but nobody knows anything about it. Believer, in such times, go and tell Jesus. He understands. Because Christ had burdens that even his closest disciples knew nothing about. He very seldom opened his heart to his disciples. But we can open our heart to him in all our trials and our troubles, which no one would understand. We can tell it to Jesus, because he's the one who cares and understands. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Then let us take it to the Lord in prayer. Their priority, they went and told Jesus and told him first. You have their pathway. Path they walk, from that place of burial to Jesus Christ. From the grave to Christ, they went and told Jesus. Now, if they were able to tell him all that was upon their heart, that means, first of all, that he was available. Must have been. He must have been available. They were able to tell him. He wasn't away on a long journey somewhere. He wasn't in some far country. He was available for them to go and speak with him and tell him all that was upon their heart. Oh dear Christian, whatever we need to tell the Lord Jesus, whether it's day or night, he's always available. Always. Isn't he that loyal friend? Is he always by our side? Whatever we need to tell him, he's always available. Neither doth he grow weary of us. See, John's disciples have been with the Lord a number of times. Remember when John was in prison? He sent his disciples to the Lord to ask him, was he the Christ, or do we wait or look for another? There were other times, you can read in the Gospels, when they went to the Lord. A lesser individual would have said, oh, here's these men coming again. No, not Christ. The Lord Jesus was available. We know that human pity is often worn out from overuse. We have someone keep coming to us again and again and again and again. Remember my church in Newton Abbey in the beginning, in the early days, we had a Sunday school superintendent then. Sure as anything. As I was in the room at the back looking over my notes, getting ready to go into the pulpit, Brother James would come in and say, Reverend Mr. Cranston, I've got a problem. And you're just about to go into the pulpit, and it was always, I've got a problem. And I always had to tell, well, James will have to wait till after the meeting. Back the next week, it was the same thing. I've got a problem. And human nature being what it is, you got a bit weary. I wouldn't mind speaking to him about his problem after the service, but just then. And as was said, human pity often gives way because of overuse. A And human pity often gives way just when it should stand the heaviest strain. But Christ, the Lord Jesus, will always be there. And he never wearies of our coming to him, no matter how often we come. And how many times we go to tell him, and how many things we tell him, he's always there, always available. He's not only always available, but for these disciples he was accessible. These disciples were able to approach, and they were able to gain access into his presence. Now you try that on the Queen of England. Just try it. You'll be turned away. You read the history books of the history of America, and I'm amazed at how easy it was for the citizens of America to see their president. I read a story the other day about a woman whose husband had been imprisoned, and she was going to see the president to beg a pardon. The president, President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, would pardon her husband. And she was able to walk up the steps and in and see the president. Try that today. You couldn't get past the security. You couldn't get speaking to the president. But you can always speak to Christ. There's always an open door into his presence. He's accessible. Therefore, let us go and tell Jesus. He'll never turn us away. He'll never weary of us. He'll welcome us. He welcomes all comers. In his ministry, didn't he welcome the lepers? Didn't he welcome the halt and the maimed and the dying and the diseased? No one has refused. No one has turned away. No one has barred from speaking to Christ. Go and tell Jesus. Then you notice also their prayer. Was it not a prayer? They went and told Jesus. It's not what prayer is. Telling Jesus. Telling him what's on our heart. We can just imagine how these disciples, in telling the Lord Jesus, simply poured out their heart to him. Why, they just come from the grave. They just come from burying John. The mutilated body of John, the decapitated body of John. They would have been emotionally troubled when they went and told Jesus. And I have no doubt, like anyone else, whenever they're so troubled and they get someone to listen to them, just pour it all out. That's what prayer is. Psalm 62 verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And this telling of Jesus is a pouring out of our complaint to him. But I want you to notice something. It says here, and they took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. But there is no mention of anything that Jesus said to them. All we learn is that they told Jesus. How long did it take for them to tell him? We don't know. But this we do know, the Lord Jesus said not a word. He said not a word. Because Jesus Christ is a good listener. He's a good listener. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus? When the stranger drew near and went with them, asked them why they were sad, and they were amazed. Have you not heard of the things that have happened? And the Lord Jesus said, what things? And what did they do? They poured out their heart. And the Lord simply listened. Just listen to what they had to say. Christ is a good listener. That means we can go and tell Jesus with confidence, he'll listen. Look at the next verse. The text again, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Next verse says, when Jesus heard. The two words of it are in italics. When Jesus heard. The word heard there means give ear. When Jesus gave ear, his ear was open. His ear was listening. Have you ever gone to the doctor and explained your complaint, or at least tried to explain your complaint, and he interrupts you? And you come out of the doctor's and you say to yourself, I wish that man had listened to me. Why didn't he listen? You'll never say that about Christ. Never say that about the Lord, because he's always listening. He gives ear to what we have to say. His ear is open to our cry. His ear is open to our complaint. Oh, let us go and tell Jesus. Go to him with confidence. And know that his ear will listen to what we have to say. And his heart will understand how we feel. Wonderful Savior. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. And went and told Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer.